Good morning. Pastor Dan here with you this morning, and I want to start off by asking you this question. What makes you feel safe? What makes you feel safe? So when I was a little kid, even just 7 years old, was when my sister was born, and that meant everybody shuffled rooms, and so I got promoted to the bedroom in the basement. All alone. And it was quite the privilege to get my own room, and it was one of the biggest bedrooms in the house, so that was awesome. And there were some perks, but there was also the fact that I was sleeping alone in the basement, which was scary. So the solution Mom and Dad came up with was to put an intercom between my bedroom and their bedroom, and before I slept down there for the first time, Dad showed me how the intercom worked. And we would test it out. So just push the button and he could hear on the other end. And I felt safe because I was still in communication with my parents and they were there if I needed them. And I'm sure over that first couple weeks, I probably needed them an annoying amount of times. The other thing that made me feel a little bit safer in that bedroom was I realized as I got a little older that whenever there was a storm, we went into the basement to be safe. And I was already in the basement. So what could be better than if there was a storm in the middle of the night, you're already sleeping in the safest part of the house. So that was great. I say all that to say, safety for kids is a really big deal. In fact, they're seeing how much of an impact safety makes on education. They're realizing this is an important issue because if a child doesn't feel safe, they can't focus and they can't take risks. And it's harder to explore, and they will struggle to try those new things. Simply put, feeling safe makes growth possible. Feeling safe makes growth possible. Think about the kid who has a coach that keeps yelling. Even if the coach doesn't yell at them specifically, maybe they're just yelling at other young athletes. But it can cause a kid to completely shut down. And it's hard because the coach is trying to teach them and just wants the child to pay attention. But making them feel unsafe completely undermines the role of coach. When the child is afraid, you're no longer able to teach because they're in survival mode, not learning mode. Maybe you've seen that. As we get older, we start to look at things a little differently. We may not feel we need mom or dad all the time around, obviously, as you get to be an adult. And hopefully you're able to grasp that if you have somebody yelling at you, they probably have their own personal issues that they need to deal with. And it may not really be about us at all. Yet, even as we mature, we will all continue to look for places that offer safety, for opportunities that offer safety. So I want to ask you again, what makes you feel safe? Maybe another way to look at that is to ask it the other direction. What makes you feel vulnerable or unsafe? Hopefully, you can think of some things. I think pretty much everyone can. Maybe that'd be a good thing to discuss. But there's different things that happen to people as they grow up that can cause them to feel unsafe, and then they try the opposite to feel safe. So, for example, like maybe if you grew up with some poverty, working hard to become, move up the social ladder to another class might be something that you think is going to make you feel safe. Maybe growing up in a rough neighborhood could make you feel vulnerable. So being in a good neighborhood, quote unquote, could make you feel safe. Maybe living in chaos makes you feel vulnerable. So you become an adult that works to have everything in order all the time because that makes you feel safe. Maybe living with some pain, emotional pain can cause you to feel vulnerable. And one of the ways that people address that or deal with that is to resort to anger. Because anger makes you feel big, strong, and powerful. And a lot of people who have felt vulnerable and unsafe will do anything to avoid feeling that way again. So from now on, I'm going to be the person who's big, angry, scary, and powerful. Sometimes living with pain like that that makes us feel vulnerable, and so we resort to anxiety to make us feel safe. And that sounds probably crazy because anxiety is awful, right? But the way we look at it is, if I worry and stress about everything or a lot of things, then when I do that, I'm feeling like I'm in control, and that feels safe. You know, nobody wants to be in poverty. Nobody wants to be in a rough neighborhood. Nobody wants to live in chaos and in pain. Those things feel unsafe. And when we look around and we see an unsafe situation, we naturally pursue a better position. We work toward moving up the class ladder. We work toward maybe a better neighborhood or more order in our life. Sometimes we're willing to accept anger or anxiety in order to have a sense of control, because those things feel safer. They aren't necessarily good things, but they feel better than the things we're trying to avoid. Okay, let me tell you about an interesting scripture on this issue. If you have a Bible with you, I want you to head to Isaiah 31, verse 1 with me. In this passage, there's the southern nation of Israel who Isaiah is writing to. And the southern nation of Israel is called Judah. And they had run into a situation where they were feeling very unsafe. They were being attacked by Assyria, and they were very vulnerable. So there was a push for their king to make an alliance with Egypt. And remember that Egypt was the nation that had abused the people of Israel for 400 years. Why would you turn to Egypt? Because it felt safer than Assyria. So listen to what the prophet Isaiah says to the nation of Judah. He says, "Woe. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong." See, Judah thought they needed resources to be safe, and Egypt was known for its military might. By today's standards, maybe you would say Egypt was like a nuclear superpower or something. You know, they had horses and chariots and horsemen which mowed down opposing armies. If Israel had those weapons, you would think it too would be safe. The threat that caused their vulnerability was a military threat. That's how they perceived it. So it only makes sense that their response, and therefore their safety, would come from a military response. They don't seem to have any recollection of what God did to those Egyptian chariots when they chased after Judah and all of Israel when they were trying to flee Egypt into the wilderness. How easily we forget, don't we? So Isaiah lets them know in no uncertain terms that they were turning to one persecutor to rescue them from another. And that sounds crazy, but in reality, a lot of us do that. That's really what we're doing when we turn to order to rescue us from the feelings of chaos that feel unsafe. Because order can be just as terrible a taskmaster. It can cause us to repel a lot of people by our insistence on things being a certain way. It's also what happens when we look to anger or anxiety and control to rescue us from pain. You know, we're kind of taking one step forward, but two steps back. When we look to money to rescue us from poverty, like we're going to find our safety there, a lot of times we're exchanging one stress for another. Same with any kind of sinful addiction that medicates our pain. We're not ending up in a better place. We're just clamoring for a momentary feeling of safety or normalcy. So think about this for a moment. When it comes to the threat we're facing today, I think that when the coronavirus first broke, we all felt somewhat safe if we were paying attention to the fact that it was even out there. We still felt somewhat safe because we were in America, and that was in China. Then, as it started to arrive here, I think we still felt safe because we're in Illinois, and we're not in Washington or New York. Then it made it to Chicago, and we still felt probably some level of confidence because we're in a rural, small town area. But as we all know, it's officially here, and the numbers will probably grow significantly even this week. So what is the threat to our safety? What's threatening our safety? Sickness. And for maybe a small number, even death. And now we have another threat to our safety, a financial threat. So what can keep you safe? See, we're all putting our trust in something as we look to stay safe. So what are you spending your time and your resources pursuing? That's going to probably tell you a lot about where you're looking for safety. I personally have found myself probably overly obsessing with information and attempting to learn as much as I can and know as much as I can, even though I don't even know if I can trust the resources I'm reading. But I want to know as much as I can so that I can consider possible scenarios and maybe get an idea of how this is going to go. I don't think any of us know how this is going to turn out. And in the end, I think that's kind of me putting my faith in me. So how about you? Are you someone who's trusting in your own abilities to research and prepare? There's other places we can put our trust. Some people, maybe you fall into this camp, are trusting in the medical community and their abilities to research, prepare, and problem solve. How about this? Are you someone who's trusting in the government? Some of you might laugh right there. But maybe we specifically kind of trust the party we associate with and their ability to prepare and problem solve and help prevent things. Another way we can try to feel safe is to do everything in our power to avoid any scary information. It's the opposite of what I was talking about for me. It's kind of the ostrich with its head in a hole mentality. The ostrich feels safe because it stuck its head in a hole and it can't see a threat. But its whole body is out in the open. And sometimes we think that there is a level of safety, or at least maybe a feeling of safety, in ignorance. So it's not all of these external things that are going to allow us to feel safe. And if it's not that, what can we turn to? What do we need? Where do we go? What do we need to do? Because safety is important. So as an example of this, a while back I heard an illustration about an art teacher requesting their students to paint a picture of peace and serenity in nature. And the first student spent some time thinking about it and painted a bird perched picturesquely on an oak tree surrounded by beautiful hills and landscape on a warm summer day, the sun gently cascading through the leaves. It was so amazing. You could almost hear the tune that the bird was probably singing through the painting. Everything was perfect. It was beautiful. And it made you feel this peaceful, happy, safe feeling just looking at it. The second student unveiled their piece and it was chaotic. almost hard to see the bird. The tree that he was in was bending in the wind. The rain was whipping through the leaves. Stuff was flying everywhere. Chaos ensued. And that was the first thing that gripped you in this painting. And then there in the picture was a bird asleep in its nest. The world tells us that there is safety in a safe scenario. That there's peace in a safe scenario. And so a lot of times we run around working to create that first picture in our own lives. And maybe we can have that for a moment. But I've found it never lasts. We probably find ourselves fighting against anything that begins to disturb our environment and that illusion of safety. We might even have situations in our own lives where we've gotten angry with God because something unsafe shows up in our lives and he's God. He could stop it. God's certainly capable of doing anything, but at least for me, he rarely calms the storm. Instead, it seems to me that when we look at Scripture and when I've looked at my own life, God is offering us a safety in him that is completely unrelated to our environment. Kind of like that second bird. Listen to all of the threats that show up in this statement from the Apostle Paul in Romans 8, 38 and 39. There's so many potential problems and they're all listed. And Paul's not saying that God's going to keep any of them from happening. But listen, I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, or meaning demons, or things present or things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other created thing. Now, all of those things are going to happen. Death and life, angels and demons, things present, things to come. Our present situation is happening. Things to come are happening. Powers are going to happen. Heights and depths are going to happen. And there's all kinds of created things all around us. So it's not that all of those things are going to be gotten rid of. They're all going to be there. But he's convinced that regarding all of those things, none of them will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Christ Jesus our Lord is where safety reigns. And it's interesting because I think we look for safety in many, many things. In fact, tons of things are sold to us with the idea of safety in mind. Cars, highest safety ratings. We think of somewhere you want to be when things are bad. Like, we think of our homes as safe. If, you know, in spite of all of that, we still get insurance policies. We feel safe in insurance policies. We feel safe often in our healthcare systems. In the midst of all this, everyone's wanting to feel the safety in a vaccine or in a treatment that works. We find safety, we look for safety in our government, in our 401ks, in our bank accounts, in our own abilities. I mean, honestly, sometimes we're looking for safety in that packet of vitamin C, or our job, or our stockpiles, or our relationships. Sometimes we even look for safety in that coping mechanism that we know is not good. Now, some of those things are okay things. It's not that they're inherently bad, and they can even be helpful for us at times, but in all honesty, none of them keep us safe. See, any and all of those things can and do fail. Think back to that verse, Isaiah 31:1. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and horsemen because they are very strong. And then this is how that verse ends, this last line. But they do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord. They do not look to the Holy One of Israel nor seek the Lord. That's what's supposed to be happening. And I'll be honest. You may say, Pastor Dan, I've tried to look to God and to trust in Him, but bad things have still happened in my life. Yep. Me too. And we're not alone. Bad things have happened in the life of virtually every person in Scripture. Job was obliterated by one tragedy after the next. Noah was hated and rejected by those he was trying to reach. Joseph was turned on by his own family. He was expecting to be a leader, but first he went through slavery and false accusations and jail. Moses had a similar path. Daniel did nothing but honor God and still ended up being thrown into a den of lions. God did show up there. But in all of these things, you have guys who are really trying to follow God. Why didn't any of these men do what Job was actually encouraged by his friends to do, to just curse God and die? What made them keep going? They were not oblivious to their impending peril or tragedy. What kept them and countless others so steady? What allows so many New Testament Christians? I mean, there's only a few recorded in Scripture, but there are so many through history that gave their lives with a smile on their face. How do you have a situation like Stephen, who patiently prays for his killers as they stone him to death? See, it's not that bad things won't happen. It's not that, you know, you get God in your life and now no more bad things happen. You can ask any Christian. That's not how it works. But there is an incredible peace and safety that we can have regardless of our situation when we're able to wrap our head around this fact. As Christians, our safety is found exclusively in the love of Christ. As Christians, our safety is found exclusively in the love of Christ. And there is nothing that can separate us from His love. Romans 8. Not death, not disease, not financial ruin, not even a pandemic, not even a demonic attack from the pit of hell. We are always kept in the palm of His hand. And we are safe from eternal damnation, and nothing can take Christ away from us. So where are you turning to find safety? If you're looking anywhere other than God, prepare to have your foundation rocked. Eventually, everything else will have at least some level of disappointment. However, if you look to God and put your faith in His love for you, you can be saved. Saved. Right? I mean, isn't that what we're all looking for when we want to feel safe? Is to be saved? Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 26:3, "The steadfast of mind, you will keep him in perfect peace, because he trusts in you." When you grasp your salvation, when you know that you're saved, safe, and nothing can take that peace from you, we become unshakable, steadfast, full of peace, a peace that surpasses the world's understanding. And as you trust Christ, you will see His faithfulness and grow to trust Him even more. And the peace will continue to grow, and the trust continues to grow. And isn't that what we are all wanting so desperately? Isn't that what the world is looking for, especially right now? Being safe in the love of Christ allows us to become a beacon of hope for the whole world to see. So if you're looking everywhere for safety and haven't been saved, I would love to talk to you about that. Maybe today is the day you want to pray a prayer of repentance for your sin, a prayer asking to experience Christ's love, and then make a commitment to grow in Him. And I want to encourage you to do it. Don't wait. And if you do that, please let us know so we can pray for you and cheer you on. For those of you that are Christ followers that are going, yeah, I'm still dealing with a lot of anxiety and I'm still dealing with a lot of looking for safety, maybe lost sight of the fact that you're saved. If the fear of what's going on in our world has overwhelmed you and you found yourself looking somewhere else, I want to challenge you today to steady your mind on the love of Christ. Get in Romans 8, 38 and 39. Look at the other verses around that. Spend a little time in that passage. Maybe pray through it or journal about it. See what God says to your heart as you look at His Word. I really believe if our eyes are fixed on Him, we can have perfect peace, even in chaos, when you put your trust in Him. Let's pray. Lord God, we just thank You for how You're always reaching out to us. Lord, how Your Word just is one invitation after the next to find You, to find safety, to build our life on that rock. And when the storms come and the winds blow, it does not fall down. Lord, thank You for that invitation. I pray that You would just allow hearts to draw close to You now. Lord, You would draw close to us. And we would sense Your Holy Spirit just welling up and bringing that peace that our world cannot have apart from You. Lord, thank You that You love us. Thank You that You see us. You know the number of hairs on our head. Lord, You see each tear that we cry. You are the God of compassion, and You are a God of love that cares for us and knows us by name. Lord, I pray that for any who have maybe wandered from You, that we could come back and reconnect. For those who don't know You yet, Lord, pray Your Holy Spirit would just draw them to relationship with You. We celebrate that. We know heaven celebrates. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you to continue to reflect as you check out a worship song. Also, if this really spoke to your heart today, I want to remind you, you can always share this with someone else, post it on Facebook, spread it around, send it to somebody you love and care about that you want to encourage to hear it. And I will trust that God will speak to them as well. Thanks for tuning in today, and we'll see you again soon. God bless.